call this meeting to order. Will everybody please rise for the invocation and pledge of allegiance? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here this evening. Please guide our meeting this evening. Please be with our residents. Please be with our employees. And please be with our military. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. The City of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. I am very happy to say this. Will our City Secretary please call roll? Welcome back, Patty.
Councilmember Pierce.
Here.
Councilmember Grant. Councilmember Lehman.
Here.
Councilmember Wilson. Councilmember Apodaca. Mayor Pro Tem Aldrich.
Here.
Mayor Pierce.
Here. Councilmember Apodaca, Councilmember Wilson, and Councilmember Grant did indicate that they would not be here this evening. Item 5, citizens' participation. Have Mr. Limscombe with Judson ISD on the construction update. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members. Just wanted to give you a brief update on some of the construction that's going to be going around the general area and that has been going around. The biggest of which, obviously, is around Kirby Middle School. As you may know, the architect is PBK and general contractor is Bartlett Koch on that. The estimated construction completion with this first phase is 49%, so we're about halfway through. The biggest portion of this project right now that's going on is the gymnasium area. The exterior and interior concrete walls continue to be installed. The mechanical, electrical, and plumbing installations are ongoing, and removal of the existing parking lot in preparation for the new parking lot is in the process of being implemented right now. Out front, the administration area, the exterior and interior concrete walls continue to be installed. The mechanical, electrical, and plumbing rough-in continues throughout that particular part of the project as well. Re-roofing project in phase three, the contracts have been executed, and the roofing contract will begin after renovations of the administration and gym areas are complete. So that has to happen first before they begin to start on that other. Metzger Middle School re-roofing project, contractors mobilized. The project is about 20% complete on that. That's expected to be completed by September of this year. And then just real quickly, Candlewood modernization and improvements. The architect there is LPA. Facilities planning is reworking the architect's contract at this point, but they are doing some work in terms of fire alarm upgrading. That work is ongoing. And they're waiting on the board approval of funding for some of the required CO2 detectors that are going to be going into that campus. Otherwise, re-roofing project for that is ongoing. The contractors began working and is about 20% complete. That's expected to be completed by July of this year. So if you would like, I believe I sent a summary of some of these projects to council last month, I believe it was. Would you like me to do the same thing?
Yes, sir, please.
Okay. And that's it. Thank you very much.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. There is no one else signed up to speak this evening. We will move to agenda item 6, consideration of an action on the regular meeting minutes of April 11th. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, make a motion to accept the regular minutes on April 24th, 2019.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Councilmember Lehman, to accept the regular meeting minutes of April 11th. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please raise your right hand. Should I abstain? Okay. All right.
I just want to be difficult, Monique.
That should be an easy vote this morning for you to count those. Item 7A, City of Kirby 2019 Volunteer Fireman's Picnic, Chief Alfaro.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, Council Members. Picnic update, everything is basically on schedule. I do have the carnival, spoke to the gentleman 2 days ago, scheduled to start arriving on Sunday into Monday to start setting up. Usually takes them about a week or so to set up. Other stuff that I have here, basically all the stuff associated with the picnic itself. Portable toilets have been ordered, ice freezer ordered, ice ordered, refrigerated truck ordered. Silver Eagle distribution is selected for the beer and wine cooler sale. Labatt meat has been, the plate sale meat has been ordered. Labatt dry goods have been ordered. Security being secured by Chief Boyce. Request for bottled water to Culligan is still under review. Vendors have been contacted, and we have had some vendors come in. Patty takes care of that graciously. The barbecue cook-off is in the work. Mr. Steve Jimenez is the one that runs that for us. Auction is slated to start at 3 p.m. We are always in the need of auction items. If anybody has would like to donate an auction item or donate money towards an auction item that we can go out and get, we always will graciously accept. Entertainment, Ernest Bradley is in charge of our entertainment. This year we have a Tejano Group Excelente that will be performing Friday from 8 to 11. Festivities normally kick off about 5 p.m. on Friday and normally last till about midnight. Herman's Sons, the dancers on Saturday, Herman's Sons dancers will kick everything off around noon, as well as a plate sale. Usually starts about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. We usually run the plate sale, barbecue plate sale, until everything is sold out or done. Normally about 3 or so, 3:30, right when the auction kind of starts. Herman's Sons is slated to dance from noon to 1 p.m. We have entertainment. Matt Hawk will play from 1 to 3. We have the auction from 3 to 6 p.m. Barbecue awards this year for the first time will be slated and will be had on the main stage. Normally they're separate. I've been trying to get these guys to come up to the main stage for years. So what we have done is, or what I have decided to do was to start the auction at 3 versus 4 to hopefully be able to finish by 6 because they normally do their awards at 6. I want all these guys from down there to come up to the actual big pavilion so everybody's there as one big happy family. We give all the awards out immediately after the awards. Clint Taft and the Buckwild Band will start at 7, play at 9, 7 to 9. Then after that, Ty Dillon will be on from 9:30 to 11:30. So we plan to shut things down about midnight or afterwards. Carnival will be there. Usually they come on Thursday. They usually have a soft opening on Thursday. They have a wrist night that they usually do on Thursday. It's basically just for the carnival. There isn't any festivities. We don't kick in going in stuff till Friday and actually Saturday. They will be there on Sunday also. There will be no festivities on Sunday. It will just be the carnival. They kind of do their thing, and by Monday morning, they'll be leaving. Because this is our last stop in them for them in Texas. They leave from here and go to Iowa. So
for the carnival, since that's since Thursday it will be separate and Sunday it will be separate, will they communicate through the city or what have you so that we can get that information out? As far as their wristbands and those.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll find out from Todd when he gets here on Monday. He'll come in Monday, and then him and myself and Gilbert will probably go out to survey. We're praying as far as rain-wise, and let's see what happens. You know, if we need to bring in some fill or something for these guys to run on the level plane, we will do that. And at that time, I will get all the information as far as when we're going to do Thursday, wrist night, Friday, Saturday, what the times are going to be, the prices, the whole deal. Because we'll get people start calling the fire station or dispatch, and they'll be asking. And we'll put it on Facebook or something like that. That would be it. Yes, ma'am. That's about it.
So if somebody wanted, I know that you and I spoke earlier about the cook-off. So if somebody was wanting to help, or how would they get in touch with Mr. Jimenez?
Mr. Jimenez has, he actually has a page on Facebook. And he actually has even the sign-up for the barbecue cook-off is on Facebook. Okay. Also, where you can actually, teams can actually register.
Okay, I'll look for it and then I'll share that as well. And then, do you want to update on the parade?
Before that, do you need any signs updated?
I need to check. I'll do some checking tomorrow to make sure. I'll go through my sign stash and see what we have.
Okay. Now the parade. We'll start at 11. We have several people coming to be on our parade. We have a new person. We have a Jeep Club coming. I called Kirby Baptist. We have their parking lot for staging on the 4th. Mm-hmm. At this point, we do not have a grand marshal, and we're still looking for that. Chief said that he did not want to be it again.
Maybe we'll get the mayor to do it.
We may can. I was behind you then.
you be in front. Can,
we may talk with Judson ISD PD with Chief Ramon. She may be able to fill that position or get somebody to.
I think that's
that
a great idea.
So, I'm not committing her. I'm just saying that she may find somebody that will be able to assist with that.
Okay. Or who was the, was it the volleyball team for Judson? That won state?
Basketball.
Mm-hmm. Maybe those girls want to ride as a, I don't know, just a thought. It's up to you.
We're having a little difficulty with response from the schools.
Oh, okay. So. All right.
So who was it that emailed us? Which group from Judson High School that?
No, I don't think it was Judson. It was Metzger. I thought it was Metzger. Like the band or a choir or something like that. They forwarded that to you, right? Kim?
I didn't get it.
I'll have to look in my email, see if I have it. Yeah, I'll check it out.
Get that for me.
Yeah, I'll look and see.
I mean, because if Metzger is, I can't even Metzger. Say it. Metzger Band wants to come.
I believe so.
Come on. I believe it was there. Let me look through my emails. High school bands to respond.
Let me look through my emails tomorrow and see if I have it. If I do, I'll forward it to you.
Thank you.
And also because of May, there's a lot of.
Right, stuff going on.
Well, it's there.
And Fiesta.
But they actually have competitions too, like right in the middle of it, so. Perfect. Does anybody else have any? Thanks, Chief.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, item. Item 8A, engaging services of neighborhood news for city newsletter, Miss Susan Shaw. Now you have more than 3 minutes. And we can talk to you.
Greetings, Mayor, Council. Thank you guys for having me back out here. The last time I was here, I brought along some sample newsletters and information on our services. But basically what we do is we publish newsletters for neighborhood associations and small municipalities. We are here in San Antonio with about 90 or so neighborhoods and municipalities such as Windcrest, Boulevardi, Castle Hills. We also have a business in Austin and Dallas. We've been in business for about 20 years. And essentially the way it works is we sell advertising to cover the primary costs of your publication. And we work really hard to work with your local businesses that are, you know, that you trade with here in the city and as well as other businesses around the area. We take care of all of the work and printing and production of the publication. Essentially, we work with a representative who sends us the news on a deadline. We lay it all out. We get it all looking exactly the way you guys want it. We send it back to you for approval. And from there, we take care of having it printed, addressed, and delivered to the post office. We do this on a schedule of either monthly or bi-monthly. It's really pretty black and white. It's not that difficult of a process, but we take care of all the ad sales. Y'all don't have to worry about anything in regards to that except hopefully referring us to anybody who might like to advertise. And we love to work with the city on events, photos, any kind of special things you have going on. We are all about it. So
on the advertising as far as the ad sales, mm-hmm. So... You when you go out, do you only search the community in which the city you're in, or would there be potentially other advertisement from other businesses outside of the city?
Absolutely both.
Okay.
Most of our advertisers are home service type companies, you know, plumber, air conditioning, lawn care, all those sorts of things, and they're, you know, maybe air conditioning people that cover all areas, not just one particular area. But in addition to that, we do go to your local businesses.
And so is that dependent on whether or not a newsletter could get published, whether or not there was enough you know, buy-in as far as those pieces, or?
No, not at all. Once we sign a contract with you guys, you will be guaranteed to have a minimum number of pages, which is usually either 4 or 8. And so you will have that regardless of whether we're able to sell anything. And so then, you know, and then it can grow from there depending on ad sales. It can get up to 12 pages or something like that, and have just a really nice, wonderful newsletter. I gave you some samples. A lot of them started out much smaller and they grew over time, and we started getting more articles and photos, and just kind of, it becomes a real nice partnership.
And so what is, I know that you gave these two. So what is the smallest area that you do now? And I'm only saying that because I know that a lot of these are larger.
We publish newsletters with circulations from 200 homes to 10,000 homes and everything in between. I think y'all have about 2,000 homes?
We have about 2,500.
Okay,
However, I was having a conversation with our city manager. There's actually in our residential areas that are like the apartments, we don't actually have, since they don't have water accounts,
right,
they're not tapped into some of the communication that would go in. So potentially, if there was something of that nature, mm-hmm. there would be potentially more.
What we would normally do in that situation is, if you like, it's kind of up to you guys, and we can work together on it. Different organizations do different things. Maybe leave the newsletters with the management company, and then they can distribute them to the residents if they want to do that. A lot of them just don't do the apartments, so we can talk about that. And about how many apartments do you think you have?
I don't know. There's a location at, there's like 4, because then there's the senior living is over here. We have the mobile homes here behind us. So there's several, but I mean that would potentially work if that's something, you know, that we chose to do, because I would rather, if that was the case, if those addresses weren't valid anymore, then I would hate to spend the postage for it to
right ricochet. Yeah, and we can look at it either way. Our rates are based on circulation, and so the, you know, it's we can go either direction, and they are residents of the city, so it's kind of up to you guys.
And I know that so just so everybody else has it, the proposal would, if for 2,000 quantity, there it would be 0.499, just so that everybody knows, per issue, that would be at a 2,000 quantity. So that's roughly $998. And then if we, that's just for black and white, and that's up to 8 pages, if I understand that correctly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then if we wanted to add color, then there's a $250 upcharge, so that would increase that amount on that total.
And that 499, I believe it's 0.469 is postage, actually, and then there's a 3-cent handling charge. So that's what that consists of. Correct. That's correct.
That was going to be my question, too, because I was like, okay, is that each mailing or?
Right, exactly.
And as far as when you send them out, do you send them out the city of Kirby at return address, or you send them out from your return address?
We generally send them out with the city of Kirby return address. The way we work with that, and we can do it a couple of different ways. The easiest way is just to have the address say, you know, city or Kirby resident or city of Kirby neighbor or something like that, where we're not maintaining a mailing list. However, if you want names on each individual newsletter, then yes, y'all would then have to maintain a mailing list. And we do both, so.
And there's clearly several different layouts and those kinds of things. So is that something that our staff would just sit with you and say, we would like to see this, you know, maybe this kind of page here or this section?
Exactly.
And then you build it to their needs or whatever we're
Right. Once we agree on it, we will work together to come up with kind of a basic layout, which is kind of be your masthead, probably your council, important numbers, city information, any kind of regular information that you want in every single issue. And then you'll be assigned a deadline. We publish on the 1st of the month and the 15th of the month. So if it comes out the 1st of the month, the deadline is the 15th of the previous month. If it comes out the 15th of the month, the deadline is the 1st of the same month. So we would get all that stuff taken care of ahead of time, and then your deadline would come up, and then y'all would just send us your articles and just a basic Word document, text document, and photos or anything else that you want to go into the newsletter.
Can you also, because I did notice that you said that there was a form of, if somebody wanted it rather than mailed, it could be emailed.
Right.
And also there was something like a web area that you guys offered for community engagement?
Yeah, for every newsletter, for every community that we publish for, we offer a free website. And generally, at the bare minimum, we post the newsletter onto that website. There may be some things that are private that may not show up online. Generally, anything that has kids or any kind of personal nature or, you know, phone numbers that you may not want to have online. Anybody who wants to sign up, they can go online and opt in to a green version, which is basically an email version. Then we would take them off the mailing list and they would not get a printed version. There are people that want both a printed and an email version, though, so we can do that, too.
So is there a minimum? So if that happens, that would just take away the mailing?
Correct.
Of it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I didn't know if there was maybe a minimum that of mail that you guys would have to have in order to...
No, we would just the addresses that you... Usually your water bill, something like that, with the municipalities. We do also do e-newsletters where there is no postage at all, but we require a minimum of 85% of the resident email addresses, which can be difficult to get.
Right, so if it was stuffed in email, in our water bill, we already have a service that does that piece.
They charge
right.
Pages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would be two entities going.
Now, let me ask this. If we have our existing website, is there an option to put the e-newsletter attached to an existing website?
What we normally do is just link to the newsletter on our website. And so you can put a link on your website, and literally it'll be right to the PDF, and it'll just open up the PDF file.
You read my mind, Monique.
And is it possible to convert an existing subscription list, or would we just be, let's say we would start fresh and tell people, okay, we mail everybody, let's say the first month, and then maybe there's an article in there if they choose to opt out or choose to subscribe to the electronic one.
Mm-hmm.
So we would just start fresh. Because, like, for example, we have a subscription list online now.
Uh-huh. Subscription list for?
People who want an electronic newsletter.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes. So we would send them all out, hard copy, I would imagine, the first time, put an article in there indicating that they can opt in online, and then they can just go online and opt in, and we would take them off the mailing list. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so if it was, just say, on the 1st and 15th, like we were talking about, so the information would need to be to you by the 1st in order to be published by the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
So potentially... and I'm only saying this because there was a question about Q&A, you know, if we had a Q&A session where somebody sent in a question to the city answered, and then the question and answered were published mm-hmm. on that, then technically it would be at least 15 days behind as far as that information.
Mm-hmm. One thing I do recommend, if you're going to do bi-monthly every other month, and then you're looking at either the 1st or 15th, is look at your city events.
Right.
Look at your council meeting, look at your calendar, and then just try to pick a date that is going to enable you to get as much current information in as possible.
And did the city staff have, it's clear, there's like from full colored ads. I'm sorry, pages, there are ads, but there's information on all of these. So there's just a variety of things that can happen. There's a president's letter from a homeowners association. There's yard of month winners. There's tips to help keep your package safe this holiday season. I'm just giving you examples of what's in there. There's an event calendar that lists the events for almost like the end of their quarter. There's news about different entities and organizations in these.
Really, the only rule, I guess the crux of it all, is that you're giving us the rights to sell advertising, and so you're that it, then y'all can't promote commercial businesses, really, is kind of the bottom line of it all. We also do offer non-commercial classifieds for residents in a lot of them. Some of them have it, some of them don't. Teen services directory, where if you have teens that, you know, pet sit, babysit, that sort of thing under the age of 18, then, you know, they can sign up for that. And we take care of all of that for you. You don't have to manage that. They just send us an email and we take care of it from there. Yes, we can do. We've done surveys before. We can, if a lot of them are by email, so we would need those email addresses. But we can work with y'all with, say, a company like SurveyMonkey and come up with survey questions that you can send out to all of your residents. And then it basically compiles all the information and data, and we would return that back to you.
The difference between the color and this is the $250?
Correct. And most of our color publications, especially the ones that you're looking at, are a higher circulation like you guys are. It's just hard to do a color newsletter for 500 homes. You know, it's just cost prohibitive. So most neighborhoods that we offer color to are larger ones, like the size of the city of Kirby.
If we start out with a black and white print, is there an option to change to a color print?
Absolutely. Okay.
And the reason I was asking as far as the smaller circulation, too, is because although we are a larger circulation, we probably fit in with the budget of the, just because of the fact that our tax base and is more residential than commercial. That's why I was asking as far as, you know, as pieces of that way. So,
right.
Does staff have, I mean, is this something that, I mean, I believe, like, as far as people getting information to you, I mean, is there enough information in order to fill?
I mean, I think on a bi-monthly basis, is there a quarterly option?
We don't do quarterly newsletters with ads. I mean, we can do them and just bill you. It's just that the advertising or the articles either are just so far in advance or so far behind. It doesn't generally. We did that in the very beginning 20 years ago, and we discontinued doing that.
And then what's the lead time on content? So if, you know, if you wanted to distribute a February newsletter, mm-hmm. when is your, and say we distribute on the 15th of the month, mm-hmm. what's the advance?
It would be that deadline, the first of the month for a publication on the 15th of the month. And if you let us know that you want an early mail-out date or you want something special, we can usually accommodate it. We just need notice, because we're not just working with y'all. We're working with advertisers who also have to get their stuff in early. And, you know, it just kind of goes on from there. But we can usually figure it out and accommodate it. And we can help, I mean, just to throw this in there, we can help, and we do a lot of other types of printing stuff for a lot of our other neighborhoods. You know, you can send out any kind of bills, any kind of information you want. We're just a complete printing mailing house as well. So we do all sorts of things, not just newsletters.
And, I mean, I think if we're looking at this isn't like, it wouldn't be a communication for an immediate need. Like, and I say that because, again, it's going to be at least 15 days behind. So it's not going to be able to say, I mean, if we have planned events like the spring cleanup that happens in May, right now, if we went today, it would be difficult to get that out for people to read it enough advance notice. So those are the things I think that we also need to look at, that we would actually have to have information way in advance in order for it to be even useful for our residents, because otherwise it would just be spending money for something that has already either A, happened, or that now isn't relevant. So that's why I was asking, is it information, you know, if we had police blogs or anything like that, or police blotter, that would be, again, 15 days behind of something that may have happened. Not that it's not useful information, it's just not, it wouldn't be immediate information.
If we could have the police blotter like the old Herald newspaper, that would be fun.
Yeah.
That's kind of more along the lines of what we do. If you have pictures from that spring cleanup, or if you have pictures from the barbecue, you have pictures, people, it really helps to create a sense of community.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. It would almost be stuff that has happened, you know,
right,
that not necessarily stuff that's going to happen, you know, kind of like the fire picnic. It would be, this is what we did, here it is, get ready for next year.
It would be both.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it just kind of depends on the timing. If the picnic is,
well,
you know.
That's probably a poor example, because we know that that's going to happen at the same time.
Right, right.
But anything that was a pop-up, you know, we know National Night Out is always in October. So those are things that we would be able to, our meetings are the same, you know.
Like this one that has, you know, the two-month calendar.
Yes.
That would be helpful. Transfer what's on the website to there. We just have to have our calendar lined up for the year.
And you wouldn't put information too far in advance, because somebody would get this, look at it, and say, oh, look, 2 months from now, it wouldn't work. I mean,
right,
a month from now to 15 days from now, which agrees to having everything on the 1st, so they could publish something on the 15th or vice versa.
Right.
Because otherwise it's just going to get tossed or put someplace and they'll forget about it no matter what.
And then the other thing I'm just concerned about is as far as the material that we have to give them, you know, because right now, you know, we have a website and it's not always, you know, we condensed all the even social media pages, but there's some stuff that's behind, you know, when it gets put up there due to the lack of personnel to either update it or submit it. So that, I mean, that would be my other concern. I definitely think that we need something to communicate with our residents, and so that at least everybody can see, hey, this is what's going on, and, you know, maybe this is the answer. But at the same time, I don't want to enter into an agreement and then us not give anything useful or not have anything useful, and it's just filled with ads and not, you know, content that's, you know, essential to our city or that's even relevant.
One thing about working with us is we will keep you on a deadline. so it's unlike the website or other things where you're not on a deadline, you have to have something done by that day. It can kind of go by, whereas we'll be letting you know your deadline is coming up. We're going to need this.
And that's not, you know, and that's great, but that's not my concern. I'm just afraid that if, you know, it's committed that that deadline isn't met because something else happens in the back, or, you know, I don't know. I just want to make sure that if this is something that the city staff wants to do, that it's something that, you know, is committed, because what are we looking at, $6,000?
I did my $2,500. It was just a black and white. It would be about $7,800.
Yeah.
So that's something that we would need to consider budgeting.
And we would have to amend if we're going to start now, because our other budget is already there.
Or it could be something, I mean, I know it's a year agreement with the options to renew. It's something that we could potentially budget for to start at the beginning of the fiscal year. And go from there and do a year and see.
I mean, is there, and not only that, but I mean, I'd like to see too, I mean, from our residents too, if that's even something. You know, I know that Mr. Pittman had voiced his, you know, opinion that he thought that, you know, that a newsletter or something to get information out at our last meeting was an option. So, you know, those are things, but I mean, if we don't have buy-in from the community and it's not something that they would look into, I would hate to spend $7,800, because clearly something is going to have to be taken away in order to replace.
I mean, this has come up, I mean, ever since Kirby's been here. Kirby newsletter, Kirby has, and he gets started, and then all of a sudden it just fades away. Now we have something that actually is here that can be done, is viable to get information, you know, into the city, but then again, it may be, and then again, it's just going to disappear.
We can't make people read it, you know, so that's, I mean, I want
everything out there.
But I definitely think it's something that at least gives us an opportunity to do that. But I would like to see if we actually had, you know, buy-in from the residents. Because, again, it's another cost that we're not budgeted for at this point.
And maybe some feedback on what type of content they'd like to see. So, I mean, because I do know a lot of the city newsletters, they're advertising and they're after-action kind of reports. So,
correct.
You know, you see, here are the photos from the annual Fireman's Picnic. Here's the flyer for upcoming 4th of July. Then afterwards, it's pictures from 4th of July. Or, like, even when I get, you see employee years of service recognition, citizen volunteer events. It's always, you know, after action, but they do have, you know, the calendars. And the one I get also has, like, condensed minutes, like bullets,
right,
and council action. That may be options. So I guess we probably maybe some feedback on what council and what the community feels like would be the information they want us to have. That way the staff person is responsible for it. Know, okay, we're going to do this every other month. This is the content that needs to be ready to publish.
And then this one has a neighbor helping neighbor. So this is if somebody in the community wanted to give a shout out to somebody else of what they did, they can email, and then that person would be featured with a story, you know, of a spotlight on a, you know, a community member. So
yeah,
there's different.
It's going to have to be done well in advance. Like you said, the calendar that goes into the city, but there's also going to have to be a calendar for staff to be able to look at. It's going to be just like doing a storyboard. You're going to have this, and this, and everybody can put in the content of what you're talking about putting in there.
And then there's one that actually just highlights different ordinances as well, you know, which are relevant at any point. But I would personally like to see if we can get, I don't know how, but to try to get residential input. I mean, I do have, you know, I did receive an email today, so I do know that, you know, there is interest in it, and there's, you know, people are interested in police blotters and Q&A and, you know, just community events in general.
The last time I was here, when I left, a couple of people followed me out, and one of them asked about putting in an article from the Senior Citizen Center. You know, any kind of civic organization, Lions Club, Rotary Club, anything that y'all work with here in the city that is considered a community organization can supply news. Most of the municipalities that we work with will get an article from the police chief, the fire chief, any kind of department that, you know, it may be not, you know, current event, but things to look out for, say, around Halloween or around Christmas, you know, anything, fire safety is important. And people like to read that. And police blotter, people love reading that kind of stuff. They really do. It's community. It's what's going on around them, that sort of stuff.
And time management. That's going to be the biggest thing.
So is this something that we can bring back up after? I mean, I know that it has a deadline as far as the close,
but I guess if, you know, if we want to pursue it, then I think my recommendation would be, we don't have the funding right now, but that's something we can put into this upcoming fiscal year budget and be prepared to, you know, do it, a 1-year agreement and give it a shot.
And I mean, I know that there's three of us missing, but if it is something that we want to look at, I think that we need to we need to ask people. We need to talk it up and see, you know, if this is something that, you know, would be beneficial or that our residents think are beneficial.
I think there's a lot of questions that all of us would like to ask or think of. You got three of them missing tonight. I know there's questions there. I like the idea, which way we go, and if the city can afford the cost, then I think we should move forward on it. But I think we need to sit down with a work session and let's talk about it and maybe get some input from our citizens to see what they think about it and get some input before we make that decision.
Okay, wait a second. I think my wheels are turning a little bit slowly tonight. Okay, so you said it's $900 and something for black and white, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you
that's
sell
the postage.
Okay, never mind. Thank you.
That's.
I was gonna say, what are we paying for if they're selling ads?
No, all right. It's the postage.
Okay.
And then the extra $250 upcharge though is if we want it in color.
We don't need color.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'd like to hear citizens' input before we actually commit.
I do too.
Yeah,
and I will mention we've had, and this is just general information. We've had, like I said, we've been in business for 20 years, and internet has just changed a lot of things. And we've had neighborhoods from time to time that have chosen to do away with the newsletter and go with just a website or something like that. But there's nothing to remind people to go to that website, and that's the biggest problem. Most of the time, they end up coming back to a printed newsletter because it's something they receive in the mail, and it spurs their memory, even if it directs them to a website, because there's just, you know, it's minutes or whatever. It's just too long to say having a newsletter, but it's a reminder, for, you know, when they get it in their mailbox.
Well, I know what took place years ago. We had that newsletter, and I was one of the lucky ones that was in that group that was trying to put it together. We did pretty good, but we could not fill up any space with any ads, and the ads is what really offset the cost, and we finally ended up folding up because we were going in the red. So with an organization that they go out and get the ads, all we've got to do is furnish them the information that goes in the newsletter. I think it's a win-win situation.
Yep. So if we can look that up in our upcoming, July. But in the meantime, I think that we need to, as much as possible, I'm on social media. I can put surveys there as well. Just to see, but maybe if we have something in our foyer as well, so when people come up, maybe the office staff, just when people are coming up to the window, hey, what do you think about this? And maybe just kind of keep a tally of that, just communication outside and for the people that are actually visiting City Hall as well. The fire picnic is probably another avenue, since many of us will be trotting around out there. Meeting people and seeing people. We can talk it up there as well. Are there any other questions? All right, thank you so much.
Thank you, and if y'all have any questions or need any additional information, anything I can get for you, if you'd like to talk to somebody from another city perhaps or something like that, or a neighborhood, you know, I'll be happy to hook you guys up. But just give us a call.
Thank you so
much. All right,
much
thank for, you very much for having me.
Thank you for all of the examples.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, item 8B, City of Kirby 2019 spring cleanup. Turn it over to our city manager.
So this is really just, you know, more of an announcement. Our annual spring cleanup is May 20th through the 26th this year. It's from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Public Works Yard. There will be roll-offs there for residents to dispose of unwanted items. We will not accept tires, flammable, or hazardous materials, and will be required to present a water bill for proof of residency in order to drop off at the site. And this is, again, for residential only. There is no commercial drop-off for this service. And there will be no curbside pickup during the service time, because those are some of the inquiries that we're getting at City Hall. I know that Tom Armstrong is here. I don't know if you have anything you want to add, correct, as far as what we're not accepting. Okay.
Right.
So, again, And May 20th through the 26th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Public Works facility, which is at 5503 Duffin Drive.
And then also, if we can get like a cost of what it actually costs the city to do that and to do subsequent ones. I know that several years ago we did have more of these, and it cost quite an astronomical amount that when it was actually for all the roll-offs and the getting them and taking them and putting them, it was a pretty large cost. So I think that that would be important as well, so that we can actually see the cost that it monetarily that it is to do those functions. Anything else on that one? Okay. All right. Item 8C, discussion possible action on the City of Kirby Street sweeping schedule. Gilbert? And don't leave. When, after you're done, I'm gonna deviate from the meeting. Oh, he does? Okay. Never mind. I'm not going to deviate from the meeting. You're going to go.
Hey, Mayor, Council. So we're having some fun on Pageland and Ackerman right now.
That's why I said you can go after this.
All right, so I'm going to give a quick, update on our public works street sweeping and the areas. So up there on the map, we have this posted. We have it broken down into four areas, and they go into colors clockwise, starting in yellow, which is area 1, blue area 2, green area 3, and pink is area 4. The sweeper goes by, and we every once a week on Mondays, and if there's a holiday, we'll move it over till Tuesdays. So it kind of goes slow. We have to do a whole area in 1 month, simply because the sweeper has to go through about 5 to 10 miles an hour, and it depends on how many times they need to dump, and then he has to clean out the filters and the hopper in the back every single day. So he stops about 3:30 usually, and they'll clean all of that out just to make sure we take care of our equipment. So we have an annual schedule here, which usually starts in January, which is area 1, February area 2, March area 3, April area 4, and May starts over again. So if you are, the areas will be swept 3 times per year. And if it's not swept during the allotted time, usually what we do is, to minimize confusion, we'll go ahead and say, for instance, January was a wet month, so we weren't able to sweep the whole area because we can't really sweep too well if the streets are wet or if there's puddles. So we'll go ahead and extend it to February, and for the duration of February, we'll sweep Area 1 and then continue with Area 2 in March. We had, in October, I believe, we had quite a bit of rain. So as of now, I believe we're in Area 2 in April, and we're going to be working to catch up, to get back on schedule. So every month we post online, and part of public communication. I know it's kind of small to read, so I'll go ahead and read it out. So it says, Public Works posts dates and provides the areas to be swept for each month. This is the actual message that's posted for this month. It says, weather permitting, Public Works will be sweeping Area 2 on Monday, starting April 1st, 2019, and ending April 29th, 2019. The dates are as follows: April 1st, April 8th, April 15th, April 22nd, and April 29th. Please refrain from parking in the street from 7 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. on the assigned days. The City of Kirby Public Works Department is dedicated to providing the highest level of customer service and quality municipal services for our residents. We thank you for your patience and cooperation, and if you have any questions or concerns, please contact Gilbert W. Salas, Director of Public Works, at 210-666-0653, extension 111. So if the community or anybody has any questions, they can call me, and I try to make it a point to get back to them within 24 hours. So we're going to go to how it works. Now, the street sweeper, it's a regenerative air system. So if you look, let me see if I can point at it. Oh, no, it doesn't come out. All right, so the top right-hand corner where you see the blue arrow going down. At the top up there, there's a fan. Now, what that fan does is it blows air down to the ground. The gutter brooms push all the leaves and debris into the center of the hopper, and that air goes across, and then you see that red arrow going back up. It regenerates the air to the back of the hopper. When it comes around, the heavy debris, like cans and leaves and papers, whatever the sweeper picks up, drops to the bottom, and then on the top, the air, the dust in the air kind of separates up there as well, and it gets filtered. Then it goes back to the front of the blower to where it gets regenerated. So as you can see, if there's plenty of water on the road, then it would cause issues with picking everything up, and actually would cause more mud. So when it rains, we try not to do it. And then after, on occasion, depending on the severity of the mud or whatever's in the street, sometimes we'll go, we'll let the area dry out, we'll clean it up with shovels, and we'll take the sweeper on top of it after a main break or a service leak. So that's a regenerative air system that works on there. And all of our operators, with the exception of one, he'll be signed up, have taken the class, myself included, on how to fully take it apart, maintenance it, replace items. So we got one guy. I have four people that can drive it, including myself. One of the gentlemen needs to go to the training, which he'll be signed up for. So, and then right here, this next slide is that's our sweeper in action. As you can see on the left-hand side, if a vehicle parks in the street during that time, the sweeper is going to be forced to go around it. So if there's any debris or anything under the vehicle and probably about 10 feet in front and 10 feet behind of the vehicle, we won't be able to get to it. And on the other side, on the right-hand side, shows where the street's clear, and they'll be able to sweep the whole way down, the whole gutters, and pick up as much as possible. It also has little misters on the side that kind of prevents dust, and the regenerative air system is probably the only one, if I'm not mistaken, when I read Temco's website, it's probably the only type of system that keeps it the dust minimal. So if any residents have any issues or anything with the dust, this is the best system that's available. And we also, like I said, use misters to minimize it.
So is the mister supposed to be going all the time?
It just depends. If the ground's a little damp, like it rained yesterday and the street kind of dried up, but it's still kind of damp, we really don't need to run it. But if we do, well, there's some out there, they get all right. If they have good flow in their new street, we'll be all right. But for the most part, usually we have the misters on there. We can set them on the amount of water that comes out of them. And that's another thing as well. If he runs out of water or he fills up, you know, we'll try to go dump and then fill up with water at the same time.
So where did they have to do that?
The dump?
Do they have to go back all the way to Public Works each
Yes.
time?
Yes, yeah. We're not dumping anything at Gaiety.
No,
so
I was just curious where it was.
Yeah, they go back to the Public Works yard, and then there's a fire hydrant there that we fill up with water as well. And then at the end of the day, we have a hose in the back, and they kind of just wash it out and clean it up and then clean out the filters.
How often did you say they have to dump and then go back?
It depends. It depends on how much debris is on the ground. So, I mean, they could sweep and they can end up dumping 3 times a day, or they can end up dumping 10 times a day. It just depends on how much debris is in the ground, because it'll only suck up so much. And then once it's done, it's done. It'll just make more of a mess.
But that the fact that it would fill up faster was the fact that there's leaves and stuff that are blown into the street or...
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
And debris that's off.
Yeah, any kind of leaves, debris, or anything that's in the street will make it fill up quicker. If it was just a little bit of dirt or whatever, it wouldn't be a big deal.
So these residents could help that situation by making sure that we don't have leaves and that kind of
mm-hmm.
stuff in there.
Yes, ma'am.
Have we had an ordinance against that? Yes.
To blow them in the street. We can't.
Yeah, no, that's all.
Oh, that was it. That was short and sweet. And I do know that it is posted faithfully on the city's website. I actually go to the city's website to pull that information off so that I can reshare it on my social media as well. The city posts that information too on the city's official Facebook page. So But again, and I don't know, are we posting it out here too? Like, is it in our foyer? Okay, so it's also in written form in the foyer, but again, if you're not here at City Hall or on social media, that's one of those difficult things it is to get that communication out. So the people that are here today, let your neighbors know that that's the program, and then we can just pass that information on. All right. Anybody else have anything on that? All right. Thank you. No go. For those of y'all who don't know, there's a water main break at Pageland and Ackerman, so Gilbert is overseeing that monstrous job right now. Yes. Get your good shoes off. Thanks, Gilbert. All right, item 9A, discussion and possible action on appointing a regular member and an alternate member to the Buildings and Standards Commission.
No applications at this time.
All right, so if anybody in the audience or any wants to volunteer or share the information that the Buildings and Standards Commission is looking for members, please pass on the word. There are applications in the foyer, and they are also online. And Ms. Patty Cox will be happy to answer questions regarding those. Item 9B, discussion and possible action on appointing members to the Beautification Recycle Committee.
No applications at this time.
Again, same thing. If anybody in the audience or anybody knows anyone who wants to serve on those committees, please let them know. They can pick up an application in the foyer at City Hall or online. Item 9C, discussion and possible action on appointing members to the Kirby Senior Center Corporation Board. All right, the city. All right, again, same message. You see the pattern here.
Can I make a comment?
You absolutely can make a comment.
I made a comment way back there when two of our members on the board here volunteered to become the members of the senior board. They haven't even put their head inside the door yet. And I made the comment then, if they wanted to be on the board, they needed to work. And they aren't getting any help whatsoever. So I don't know who's going to say something to them. But something's got to be...
I will.
Something's got to be said to those two members. Because they're not doing the board any good.
Okay. Item 9D. Discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2019-856, amending the budget for fiscal year 2018-2019. This is the second reading. If you recall at our last meeting, there were some budget amendments and it's passed for the first, so this will be the second reading as required by our statutes.
Mayor, I make a motion to accept ordinance number 2019-856, amending the budget for fiscal year 2018-2019.
Second. We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to accept ordinance number 2019-856, amending the budget for fiscal year 2018-2019. Any discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Layman?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes. Yes. Ordinance number ordinance number 2019-856, amending the budget for fiscal year 2018-2019, passes for the second reading. Item 9E, discussion and possible action on the San Antonio Living History Texas Revolt event. I will entertain a motion to table this item until May 9th.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to table this agenda item for the San Antonio Living History Texas Revolt event to our meeting on May the 9th.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Layman, to table the San Antonio Living History Texas Revolt event agenda item until May 9th. Any discussion?
No discussion on a motion to table.
Oh, thank you. All right, will our city secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldrich?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right, so we will hear from them on May 9th. Item 9F, discussion and possible action on the City of Kirby Recycling Services, Mr. Tom Armstrong with Republic Services.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Last time I was here, I guess it was a month ago, I told you guys that I would follow up with you on the recycling, the state of the recycling, and I would get you some information on what percentages of the residents are participating, as well as the contamination rate that we're receiving at our recycling center. And in addition, I told you guys that I would get some cost to you as far as if we were to do away with the recycling program, what that would do to the rate. And I'm sorry to say I don't have those numbers for you at this time. I'm waiting for some direction from our corporate office on that. So I told Monique about that, and as soon as I have that, I'll let you guys know. But on what we have going on right now in the community, we've been measuring it since the last time I was here, and we have currently 72% participation in the program. So we're getting right at about 1,800 carts put out each recycling service day, which that's very good. Less good news is the contamination rate that we saw is 49%. Which is very high.
The over half is being thrown away.
Yeah.
I just want to make that clear. So.
Right. Yeah, we're throwing it away. So basically what that leaves us at is if we continue with the program, and we would love to continue with the program, and I think that's something we'll decide down the road when we have some cost figures available for you guys. I think it's going to be crucial that we continue more education with the residents, and I hate to say penalties, but if we have chronic abusers that continue to contaminate the recycling stream, we would have to look at something, maybe taking away their recycling card or something like that. But
so do your drivers note it at the time they pick it up?
They normally don't see in the carts.
So you're talking penalties to the city as a whole?
No.
So how would you know who?
Well, I have, like, for instance, in the past several weeks, I've had supervisors coming out here on recycling day, and they're basically sticking their head in recycle carts and looking to see what's in there and making notes of that. It's a fun job. Someone's got to do it, but.
Watch my Jiffy peanut butter out. I'm sorry.
So, anyway, that's the data that we collected. I guess we can discuss further once I have more information for you as far as the cost controls.
That's fine. But as far as the education piece of it, which is I'm interested in, anything that we can do to – because at this point – when we were talking about an increase, there is absolutely, just for me personally, there is no way that I would want to increase our rate if we're not participating, or our participation, or actually what we're actually recycling is that low. So what are the infractions? And we're not talking about the peanut butter can, but what are the things that aren't happening that can be easily corrected?
We're seeing a lot of food. Is it what you're asking? Like,
yes,
what type of things?
Yeah, like
we're seeing a lot of food waste, diapers, just some pretty gnarly, unrecyclable things.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So it's things that aren't recyclable are being thrown in, which is contaminating it, or is it stuff not being washed out or that?
No.
Okay, so
they're being pretty lenient on things like that. So if there's a jar that has some residue in that, they're counting that as okay.
Okay, so this is just stuff being thrown in that is not recyclable. It's just garbage.
It's basically people using the recycling cart as a second trash cart. I'm not trying to give you guys any ideas.
Well, I was going to say, we do have that problem in the park, and our beautification and recycle committee members actually go out there
and
clean those carts out. And it's more food and garbage than it is recycled.
Yes.
Something for the newsletter.
Yes.
That's a great.
Door-to-door mail out.
We did a mailer, and if we move forward with that, I think we would need to look at sending that out with some regularity to remind folks and any new residents moving into the community to get the information to them. Probably need to look at different, more visible stickers on the top of the cart showing that it is recycled and what can and cannot go in there. National night out, just every opportunity we have to get that information out.
Info bags or sheets for the fire picnic.
When is that?
May 4th.
Next Friday.
That's pretty good.
At least maybe that document that
I think so.
We have some copies of that available.
4th of July for sure. Yeah.
Because we do put them, you know, out here, but I think you get more people.
See, but that's where I think the problem lies, is because we're sending it out, but we can't know that somebody's actually reading or getting, because there's no acknowledgement. There's not like a piece of paper saying, I got this. So that's what I'm saying. There, to me, in order for us to actually realize who we're reaching, we need something tangible that comes back to us to say, hey, yeah, I got this message. I mean, y'all are sending it out. I got it, but who knows? I mean, it's the mail. Kim may not have gotten it. You know, so, you know.
Anything undeliverable comes back to us. We could track that, but as far as.
Yeah, no, I don't even mean that. I'm just saying, like, that she saw it and just threw it on the on the counter and never got it. So, again, there's obviously waste there because you guys are spending that money, which, regardless, nothing's free. So we know at some point it's coming back somehow.
Right.
But at the same time, there's nothing like a little sheet of paper that's given back to the city that said, yes, I got this. You know, so maybe, and that's what I was talking about as far as anything. We know that the message is being disseminated. We just don't know if it's being received as such. So maybe if they're, I don't know, when we're out in those events again, maybe it's something that we've said, yes, I know this. Because I think that part is where it's lacking. I mean, I personally saw the flyer, and I was specifically looking for it because you said you were sending it. So I was stalking my mailbox looking for it, and when it didn't come that one time, I was like, where is it? You know, so.
But, you know, people who get excited, go ahead.
And I know that was the issue, but the Beautification and Recycle Committee is already planning to have a booth at the fire from 2 to 4 that Saturday. Maybe if you just can provide the documents, we can have them, because they'll be interactive and get to talk to people like they did at National Night Out, and can actually say,
okay,
hey, here's the sheet, you know about this.
And I mean, the cans are marked. I mean, there's a green lid, and there's, I mean, so it's not like there's a, oh, I thought that was my trash can.
Yeah. You know,
so that's what I'm saying. That piece is marked.
Yeah. So the people that are eager to recycle are going to be doing it the right way. It's the people that are apathetic about it that we need to reach, and either, you know, we would prefer you don't recycle at all if you're going to throw diapers in there.
I think for the city it would help too, because that's one less bin that's on the street that could potentially be left there. You know, and then it's not serving any purpose, and then we would actually have real figures of recycling, because also the part that we're not speaking about tonight because you're waiting for corporate is the cost involved. So again, if it doesn't make sense, regardless if I'm an avid recycler and I think everything should be recycled, I still don't think it's beneficial to the city if the rates are going up and you know, that's the return that we're getting.
And if we do move in that direction where we do get rid of the curbside recycling, there's still some opportunities that we could look at, maybe something at the Public Works yard. We call it a Walmart recycling. It's like an open top, a roll-off that has a vaulted top on it with the holes in it that people can put their recycling. So the people that are interested in it and want to continue doing that, that's a possibility there. I'm not sure what kind of room they have over there.
Well, like for example, for the park, those recycle bins that only have the small tops that only the bottles or cans or things can fit in, or is that if the city would have to provide those, you would empty those as well?
There were some cardboard ones I know that they had, but I hadn't, that were at the park.
Right, that was when the Boy Scouts were maintaining mm-hmm. those for
exactly.
a little while.
Exactly.
Those got nasty.
You're talking about the cardboard ones?
Yeah. But I asked that because one of the things that we talked about with the Beautification Recycle Committee is purchasing, or we're trying to look for a grant right now, the ones that are shaped like bottles, where you could at least put bottles and cans in those. But is that something that you all would still pick up?
We provide those for the rodeo, and basically we bought them, and every year for the rodeo we bring them out to the AT&T Center there. So we have access to those, so we could, I have no idea what those things cost, but we could look at getting them on hand and providing them and selling them to you, renting them to you.
But you would pick those up. We wouldn't have to go in and get somebody to empty that out for you.
Yeah. So that's all I have. Y'all have any questions?
All right, so just to confirm, 72% participation, 1,800 carts, 49% is being thrown away.
Yes, ma'am. Right.
And so as far as the numbers that you're waiting from Corbett, what, how long do you think that will be?
I should have it any day, so I would think in time for, when's your next council meeting?
May 9th.
I should be good for that. I'll stay in touch with Monique.
Yeah, I'd just like to say in the front of it, but just because there's a cost factor involved.
Right.
And in the meantime, I think, you know, as a city that we can try to get that message out even before we have that to try to.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, item 9G, update discussion and possible action on the Benzingelman Road reconstruction project. Gilbert was going to do this action item and the next one. However, he has given our city manager the information so that he can take care of that main break on Pageland and Ackerman.
Okay. So as of today, all the grass has been put into place. This is for phases 1 through 3. San Antonio Constructors is waiting for Flasher, which is a sign company, to come out and install the flashing signs so that they could go back and do some of the additional punch list work. They have completed the small punch list items such as the concrete patches, leveling the yards, topsoil, and grass. Mark Hill from Ford Engineering and our Public Works Director will be doing their weekly inspection tomorrow morning, and they will go over those additional punch list items. No work, like I said, no major work was performed at all on Monday or Tuesday. So I'm not sure the cause of that. I know it wasn't raining on Monday or Tuesday. And so at this point, we have instructed them again that they cannot move on to phases 4 through 7 until all punch list items are complete on 1 through 3 and the city grants partial acceptance. So we'll see what updates come out of the weekly walkthrough tomorrow. And again, you know, I did confirm with Mark Hill and TxDOT that, you know, even if they don't go back and get the punch list items done by a certain time frame and they're not able to proceed on to phases 4 through 7, that still counts toward them being charged the liquidated damages with the, you know, duration of the time frame of the project. So that's where we're
at. So when they have their meeting tomorrow or their walkthrough, are they looking at sidewalks and all of, like, mm-hmm. the whole thing? So can you just specifically ask them, I know that I asked about the wheelchairs on the sidewalks. Can you ask them to, because I was looking at them, when I drove down the, even on the side that's supposed to be finished already, I was looking at the sidewalks and they look small. Like there's an area, like there's a lamppost in front of there, in one of them, but there's not a way to get off the street to go around it. It's literally, you can't get through it. And again, that was me just looking at stuff. There's spots on those, the ADA part that says that if there's an obstruction, that there has to be a way to get off so that you can get back on. And there's not in that area. That would be on the other side of Buzz Aldrin. Sorry, not Buzz Aldrin, Alan Shepard. Yes, in between Buzz Aldrin and Alan Shepard. So I'm just curious because, I mean, I know that the information Gilbert had said, but it looks small and there's areas that almost look like they go back in, like they're large and then they kind of like go back out and then come back in. I'm just curious what the engineer has about that. Anybody else have any? And if you get that information, if you get that information as far as not necessarily that, but the walkthrough, can you just email and just let us know what the outcome of the general so we're not waiting for the next one? All right, item 9H, discussion and possible action on private development projects on Springfield Road.
Mayor, I make a motion we table this until the May 9th council meeting. This was an item that was requested by Councilmember Wilson.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge to table item H, discussion and possible action on the private development projects on Springfield Road. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes.
If we can bring that one up at our very next meeting. Thank you. I know you had that prepared, but that way she can hear. All right, item 9I, discussion and possible action on code violations on 3811 Petrie. I was going to turn over to city staff, but I'm turning over to Officer Thompson.
3811 Petrie has been cut. The reason there was a delay is because the contractor that we used, Lawn and Order, had a family emergency, so it actually got done 2 days later, a day later pretty much, from when it was supposed to be cut. So when that came 2 weeks ago, it did get cut that Friday along with the limb. Tomorrow we're going to place the lien. We got the receipts from Lawn and Order, and the liens are going to be placed tomorrow for that house.
How often do we send them to cut it?
We only cut it this one time. I'm dealing with the homeowner right now, but the homeowner keeps trying to involve a lawyer, and at that point I have to stop the conversation and I forward it to Monique.
Do you have that information now? Okay. So on the MyGov, there's only one item that's on there from January 30th. It's what's going on. Is there any way that we can update it just so that when people look at it, they can see that it was cut on this day or no?
I could edit it and just put it in the box that you can read, because when you look at the system, I don't know how anyone else can see it. When you look at the system, can you see that I've sent a notification letter and all that stuff on the side?
The last thing that it says on there is that we were sending it to the Buildings and Standards Commission.
Okay, that's the bubble that I write, but I wish I could pull it up for you right now. On my bubble, I have a whole list of things. It has citation and everything like that. So it has mailed the certified letter. But I guess that's bubbles that the general public can't see. Right. It's only for me.
Correct. So is there any way to update so that we can see it? Because the whole point of my gov is so that an address can be followed. So right now, like I said, it just says the case was open January 30th, and the last thing that was to happen to it was that it was going to buildings and standards. So it doesn't show that, okay, now on this date it was cut, and now this date it's turned over to legal, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to look at that.
Okay. I just think that would maybe alleviate.
Other potential systems is okay. What we're tracking right now, so.
I just think that, again, if somebody wanted to look on that, then it would alleviate some of those questions as to what's happening now. Because, like I said, after the last meeting, I actually went to my gov just to look, because I hadn't looked at that specific address, and that's all you can see. And then I checked today just to see if anything would be updated after I knew that the gentleman had come cut it. So it's still there, so I wasn't sure. But, I mean, it does say literally here, track your case. But if there's nothing, you know, showing any progression, then I can see why somebody could be confused that nothing's happening with it.
On my list, it asks me when the letter generates. It asks me for the certified mail. So I will type in the certified mail. It attaches the date that the certified mail is open. It says it sends it to the city attorney, but I am not 100% sure if you get that. But it does say at the end of my letter, I don't have a sample letter to show you, but it says CC city attorney, and I didn't figure that they were probably going to him. But one thing that I can do is I can update the bubble that I know people can see. I can try to edit that and continue just, I guess, to make a longer version that you can read, since you can't see everything on the side. Another thing that is happening with that house, I know that some of the citizens that are here know the condition of the inside of the house. Monique, Chief, and I met with Universal City today about quicker ways of handling houses that are nuisances, where nobody's staying in them, nobody's caring for them, quicker avenues. It already is going to take a long time. I haven't gotten a chance to talk to Gilbert today because of the main break, about getting that onto building and standards to have that possibly demoed or have them come in and clean it. And when we talked to Universal City, they gave us a lot of pointers and different avenues that we can do with that.
So has the house ever gone to buildings and standards yet?
No.
Okay. So they haven't met about the house. That's what I said, because that's the last thing that says, is that it's being sent to them. So if I was reading it, I would think that they had looked at it.
I just updated that 2 days ago, put the building and standards on it. Because
okay.
I can't put that on the list that I have. It doesn't have building and standards. I have to actually physically go in and type it, or I'm not going to remember with the hundreds of code violations
because
that I have.
Bubble, when you pick up the bubble, it actually it looks like that happened on January 30th, like that it was sent to buildings and standards.
It like by date.
Yes, ma'am.
What she puts in.
Right. So right now it literally looks like January 30th. There are overgrown leaves. There was or overgrown tree. There was, I believe it said that there were fleas and other parasites in the grass. Those kinds of things, but that's the last date that you see is January 30th. So if I was going to check the status of it, that's all I see.
It's like a Word document that you go to every day. Yes. And add stuff onto
it. And that's what I said. So the dates never change. So therefore, it looks like that January 30th was the last time we attempted to do anything with it.
Any of this on the GIS system?
Not as far as tracking, you know, what's happening. Just the color, you know, coded.
Not about the color-coded area.
But again, we're looking at, you know, in the meeting today, we learned about some other avenues and maybe better systems to use. So
that's what are we going to apply that we can see a difference with?
There are some, a lot of actually really good suggestions that they, you know, talk about. Just kind of the steps, the start-to-finish process. Maybe some more aggressive action with taking those properties to, they don't have the building and standards, but they call it the Board of Adjustment. And it just has a little bit different level of authority. You know, another tip is to, they actually have an in-house building official who can go in and look at the structures of homes, or have a structural engineer actually look at these homes and get those reports in writing so that homeowners can't dispute that and say, oh, no, the home is structurally sound. Talk about applying some other areas through the property and maintenance code, something that we hadn't necessarily used before.
So it's stuff that we can actually put into play right now.
Yes.
Is that
something develop here pretty soon, or is that something that's going to have to go back in?
To adopt the property maintenance, the International Property Maintenance Code is going to require, you know, our code enforcement officer to make sure that we have a recommendation from her as to which addition to use. It's usually updated every year or every other year. Some cities have adopted it, but not all have. So that would take a council action to actually adopt an ordinance to adopt that code. You've adopted some international building codes, but you have not adopted the property maintenance code, which does provide ammunition for the city to use against the deteriorating home.
So we'd have to do that first before anything would be done. Well, from the Universal City on their things about getting around.
Universal City may have made some other recommendations. I mean, getting this in front of the Building and Standards Commission for it to follow its process is something that could be initiated as soon as that the chairman of the Building and Zoning Building and Standards Commission could authorize it. And then that process starts with notification and then ultimately a hearing. Meanwhile, the code enforcement officer can take some of what she learned today from Universal City and start to implement what she can do even without a property international property maintenance code adopted, which I hope could include, if there is probable cause, to do an interior inspection of some kind to determine if the house is structurally sound.
Right. And that was, you know, one of the recommendations. So we'll continue on with, you know,
this particular address process is already moving. We'll use
what we already have established to keep moving
that way. And if we, like I said, if we can find something, because obviously it's not something that Officer Thompson can even fix on MyGov because her access is obviously much more in-depth than the public, but if there's something that can be given to us as residents so that we can literally track that case, because it literally says track that case, but that's the last thing you see. So it just appears that...
So there's nothing there.
So if we can do that, I think that will alleviate some of the questions rather so that then you can see, okay, this happened. Because like I said, that's the last thing that happened according to that.
In the May meeting, when I come back in May for the presentations that I have, I'll add the MyGov in there and I'll put it up to where you can see what I see.
That's what I'm saying. If we can't see what you see, it's not going to matter. Right. Like, I mean, that's what I'm saying. So I get your piece is much more in depth, but if we can find a way for just the general public to be able to see, because we clearly can't see your stuff, and it's probably not something that we need to see, because I'm sure that there's some confidential information there that... So I just think if we can find...
The question of us figuring out what does track your case actually mean from MyGov?
Yes.
What resource do we have access to for the general public?
Correct.
We'll find that out. And if there's something additional that has to be added, we'll look at that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like I said, we've got some recommendations from potential other systems that may be a better option for us.
And so when it comes back in May, are we going to do May 9th or the 2nd?
The second meeting in May.
Okay, perfect.
Awesome. And if I can give one more update on 3811 Petrie, once it does go to building and standards, they're going to have a property hearing with the owners. And once the property hearing's done, the state law gives them 45 days to clean it up. And once the 45 days if it's not done, then we can proceed with the civil action of having the house actually demoed if they don't do the itemized list of what building and standards gives them to do.
So can buildings and standards talk to them even though they invoke a lawyer?
The building and standards just sets the hearing. That's what's done. I would not do something outside of a formal, properly noticed, properly published hearing.
Well, that's what I was
asking.
That's
the process, and they can do that whether the property owner brings an attorney or not.
Okay.
It's a public hearing before the Building and Standards Commission. Hopefully the property owner will come and be motivated to do something to alleviate the problem. If not, as Officer Thompson said, the Building and Standards Commission has a whole laundry list of things they can do. The concern that I'm sure is important to everyone is at what cost. And so we need to take that in, that would need to be taken into account as well.
So what is the likelihood that they would meet?
Well, we just have to reach out to them to now to confirm the meeting date, because we have enough people to have a quorum. So we will schedule a building and standards meeting.
But since, and that's why I was asking, though, since, I mean, I really don't want it to come back to council unless there's concrete information, because otherwise it's just spinning your wheels and then nothing new happens. It's just like, this is what we're going to do. So if we can, you know, at least they can meet so that there's actually something that's, you know, new.
Yes, we will do that. I mean, we only put on tonight as an update because there were inquiries. We got a lot of public inquiries, and we want them to understand that.
I just meant in May, like if, even at the second meeting in May.
After they've met.
Yeah, because obviously Mark said there's some other legal stuff that has to happen as far as things that have to be adopted before any other, you know, some certain specific action can be taken. So I just wanted that in place before we even hear about something that we could be potentially that we would do if we can't do it yet.
So basically, something quick is 6 months to a year before anything can be done. I'm just saying, on from what it looks like, we're January, so we're already looking at, what, almost 3 months, starting in January, with this being said. So that's 3 months there. How much longer? Again, to bouncing. That's what I'm saying. So a standard thing is something quick.
Yeah,
it's going to be a minimum between 6 months to possibly a year, so people don't go run around and think, oh, I get this. No, it's not going to happen. It's going to take. We're doing everything we can, but it still looks at 6 months to a year, depending on, you know, the property, if it's damaged or anything else, before something can get completely
taken
care
of. Which is why I said, I just think if that piece is there, that's acceptable. I mean, that's accessible to the public, regardless of all of the detailed information that Officer Thompson has to keep with her stuff, that at least the, you know, the general public can see, okay, this and this is happening.
Because if they can see it, they're not questioning or making up something in their own head about what could be going on over there.
Because, I mean, no. I mean, even I don't understand.
The public has to understand. We, you know, there is, I guess, the thought that if someone calls in a complaint on a certain date, by the next day, it's resolved. But no, for legal reasons, there's notice that has to be issued.
Right.
In this particular situation, it's vacant. You have to try to find the owner. You have to send the proper notification.
And that may be a perfect...
Perfect.
I was about to say, that would be a perfect article. Probably could take up an entire newsletter, you know, but... So, yeah. All right. Any more questions on that, Petrie? I guess you're going to do the next one, too? Okay. All right. Item 9J, discussion and possible action on dangerous assessment response team DART program.
Okay. I prepared a little statement to kind of re-go over what that is, because I know it was several months ago that we talked about it. The City of San Antonio utilizes SAFE, which is the San Antonio Fear-Free Environment Unit, along with DART, the Dangerous Assessment Response Team, to work closely with both residents and patrol officers to establish a safe environment. DART combines the efforts of the City Attorney's Office, Code Enforcement, Patrol, Building Official, Health Inspector, and Fire Department with the idea to go into an area where there's problems and say, how do we solve this and what can we do to solve the issue? DART uses an administrative warrant, a civil order, to enter homes with high numbers of criminal activity complaints, drug activity, and code enforcement violations. The city, along with the Building and Standards Commission, will issue a nuisance abatement compliance agreement, what we were talking about, with the property owner. Specific regulations will be placed in the agreement with a time period. It's usually a year. If the property, whether residential or commercial, is not brought into compliance by the designated date, which is usually a year, the property can or will be demolished. Or they can do what they consider short sale, stuff like that. DART is a lengthy and complex process. It will take time to implement and start running.
So, and that was the question, I know, because you did come out. So it was either we can do this or we can't do that, because if we can't do it, there's no point in talking about it. Because and I think that was, that's basically what the residents that spoke were, even after the meeting when I talked to them, and even up here. So if it's something that we can't do, even if it's something that takes a year and we can do it, I think we need to start now. If it's something that's not even feasible to us, I just think we need to stop talking about it and stop suggesting it so that we can say, okay, that's not an option for us.
It is going to be really in-depth with the city attorney. We're going to have to utilize him a lot more, you know, than probably council meetings to deal with these problems.
That cost, just
mm-hmm. That's, yeah, I would say there's going to be a cost to it for him. And then if we have to go get, you know, Bureau Veritas, the building inspector, stuff like that, we're going to accrue a cost for this program.
From a city staff standpoint, what is that direction?
So, you know, the last meeting, which is October 25th, we discussed this, and we were asked at that time to check with our judge and our prosecutor to see if that's a service that would be included. We checked, it is not. So, again, our only option would be paying the city attorney to do it. So, personally, from just a management standpoint, I don't think that we have the resources to do this program. However, for the comfort of the residents, I think there are other things that we can do. Like we just talked about, we are working toward making some other changes or suggestions in the code enforcement area to deal with that portion. I do feel like the police department is already actively working on some of the other law enforcement issues. And so I feel like we just need to continue with those resources.
I mean, how much is this going to cost compared to what we're going to recoup? Because if we're just throwing money out here, I can't see a reason in doing something like that. So
yeah,
I would have a tendency to agree with
you. San Antonio is such a large city. They have a whole department dedicated to this. We are not that large. We don't have those resources to do that. So we are going to have to use the things that we do have available to us.
So if my suggestion will be, I mean, from what I'm hearing, it's going to be extremely costly because we will have to look to our attorney, and we know he's not cheap.
the other thing is, I'm talking fast. No.
So I would like that if not only when this information comes back at our second meeting in May, but if we can have some kind of concrete, detailed information of how we would tackle the ongoing issue that was discussed, you know, at
the law enforcement,
the concern of that specific area or even that specific activity, that how we move forward, something concrete, not, oh, we could do this, we might can do this, well, maybe we can do this, because I think that that's where also where, again, where it stops. It's like, well, we could do this, well, why aren't we doing it then? You know, that kind of thing. So I think if we can get an action plan going to where we know exactly what can and can't be done, I think that that will alleviate some of the guessing game and what are y'all doing to do, you know, to combat this. Because, again, those issues are important to all of us, every one of us sitting here. We don't want it in our backyard. We don't want it in our city. But at the same time, we understand that our staff has to work within the confines of the law. And I would hate for anybody to be in a situation in which we have to entertain more costs with our attorney. So, but if we could, on that last week, that last meeting in May, if we can have all of that information available on, not maybe we can, but this is what we can do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's, and
yes,
and that's what I'm saying.
Like, yes, there are things that have
been done. Correct. Yeah, so if we can work with Mark to make sure that that agenda item encompasses everything that we can absolutely talk about so that there isn't something that we can say, oh, well, the agenda item doesn't let us talk about that. I mean, because I think that's extremely important that it's worded in such a way that allows us the freedom to talk, you know, about every facet of what's done, what can be done.
If I may say something, we can implement the DART program, but it's not going to be San Antonio's. San Antonio has 60 officers that are dedicated to that. City of Kirby, there's going to be one, but we can utilize the Building and Standards Commission, but it's going to take time.
And I'm not all for the DART because I know that we have, and I say that because there's certain situations where I think, but I don't think overall, there's that many areas that it warrants all the time and effort and the expense that I know it's going to cost. But if there are some things concrete that we can do today and that y'all can implement, because like I said, I know that echoing what our city manager said, I know that there are things being done immediately that have been done, but that way we can discuss it in very detailed information on that second meeting in May, and then there's no guessing on what we can and can't do.
Didn't we have a second officer go with you about this DART program, or no?
It was Sergeant Alonzo.
All right, is there any other discussion on that? All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, item 9K, discussion and possible action on the City of Kirby Comprehensive Plan. Is there anybody from PNZ? Okay, so I will ask not only, I will entertain a motion to table not only because PNZ is not here, but because our other three members are not here either. So I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to table the discussion and possible action of the City of Kirby Comprehensive Plan.
Mayor.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Audrey, seconded by Councilmember Lehman, to table the discussion and possible action on the City of Kirby Comprehensive Plan. Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Audrey?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. We can bring that up at the next one. Hopefully we'll get PNZ. All right, item 8, JJKL, item 9L, discussion and possible action on termination of the interlocal agreement and amendment to ground lease with Bexar County for animal services facility. Whichever one of y'all want to take it first.
The County Commissioner's Court approved entry into an adoption of the termination of interlocal agreement, which I wrote, and also the First Amendment to ground lease, which was prepared by me. This was done in their consent agenda at the County Commissioner's Court meeting on Tuesday morning, and I have the signed documents signed by County Judge Wolf and by the assistant criminal district attorneys handling this now out of the civil section for signature by the mayor at the end of the meeting. The interlocal agreement termination, once signed by Mayor Pierce, will be effective at 12:01 a.m. on April 15 of this year, so that as soon as this document is signed, we are officially done with the joint operations. And the amendment to ground lease would also kick in, I think, on its effective date. I can't remember now whether it's effective when it's actually signed by the second party to sign or is also retroactively effective on April 15th. The next steps, in addition to the steps that you may discuss on the next couple of agenda items tonight, would be that Ms. Vernon is to meet with the County Public Works Director, Renee Green, to finalize the split of the remaining inventory. That meeting was to have occurred by April 22nd, but since the county had not approved the agreement until April 23rd, that was impractical. I think we'll all agree to waive that deadline, but that needs to get done by Ms. Vernon with Ms. Green. And then by the end of June, Ms. Green and Ms. Verner need to do the final accounting and determine what the county owes the city and what the city owes the county, with whatever payment needs to be made is to be made by August 31. So this took longer than any of us hoped or expected, but it's essentially done.
So see, even that took a while. Couldn't just go change the locks when I wanted to. And 6 months later, we finally get this done.
Do you have any comments there? All right. All right. We will move to item 9M, discussion and possible action on reopening and operations of the Kirby Animal Shelter located at 5503 Duffick.
Now we are officially reopening Kirby Animal Shelter. Our official name is Kirby Animal Services, which will encompass animal control and care, which we have done in the past. We have established
while we order the official sign. But just so the public knows, we'll start pushing this out through our website and social media as well tomorrow. We will be open on Mondays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. These are general public hours. We will be closed on Tuesdays and Wednesdays to the public. Then on Thursdays will be our late day. We will be open from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Friday and Saturday at 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And on Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. So that will give plenty of opportunity for the general public to go in. If you have to go in the evening, you can go on a Thursday evening. If you want to go in on Saturday and Sunday to be able to do adoptions. So it will give us a lot more opportunity to interact with the public. We are right now fully staffed. We have one animal control officer and three kennel technicians. They are going to be working as a temporary schedule over the next couple of weeks. And then we're going to establish a schedule where they all rotate so that everyone will have weekends and evenings off at some point. We're also going to move toward, two of the kennel techs are brand new. So we'll move toward, once they're officially trained, say about them going to get certified as animal control officers as well. Because right now our one animal control officer has to be on call. So then when we get to a point where someone else is certified, we can rotate the on call as well. We just think that would work better for our operations. So we're looking for reestablishing relationships with volunteers. We do have some very faithful volunteers that we appreciate and work with us throughout, from prior to the joint, through the joint operations, and continuing with us now. We did make some repairs to the inside of the building. There was some painting, some repairs made to the kennel gates. Now the gates, the we call them guillotine doors, open nice and smoothly now. So those were repaired. There are some additional things that we're going to look at doing. We replaced the hot water heater. We need to look at some work on the air condition, which will be requested in this upcoming fiscal year. We've replaced ceiling tiles. So there's just still some additional things we'd like to do outdoors as well. But right now we are functional. And so we're getting a staff trade. So we will be open this weekend. There won't be any adoptions, actually, this weekend, because we're still working on getting the new employees trained, and our animal control officer is actually going to recertification training for CEUs, here, for CEUs, this weekend. So when she returns on Tuesday, she'll be able to continue training the other employees so that all of them will be trained to be able to handle adoptions, only surrenders, take payments, everybody will be trained on that.
So as far as I know that there is a y'all have to meet as far as splitting different items, because I do know that one, because when they're in when the animals are intake, I just want to make sure that we have a way to heartworm test, because, and I say that, so hopefully that's part of the split, because heartworm testing in Texas, obviously it's a problem, but one of the ways that rescues will take animals is especially if they're heartworm negative. So if that's something that we can determine that an animal is, then rescues will step up as long as they have fosters. But that is something that if they know right off the bat, it helps. So if we can look at that part. And then the basic intake meds, do they have that as far as her being able to give rabies shots and the microchips and all of those?
So we have some limited supply right now, but we will get additional.
Right.
We've actually received several donations as well from the vet office, from, and then as far as food supplies from the general public. So we just have enough for now.
Okay.
We are going to, once we see the split, I will try to schedule that tomorrow, so we'll call and schedule that so we can do the split pretty quickly and then see what additional things we need to purchase. But right now we do have our big storage unit. It's maybe a third full of food right now, and then there's some transport kennels in there. We do need donations of, Dawn, bleach, towels, blankets, things like that. Donations can now be taken directly to our shelter. We've always had them at the fire station before.
And I know it sounds odd, but one of the other things that if anybody can, it does sound like an odd request, but if anybody has small plastic kiddie pools. This is, unfortunately, spring came early, so there's puppies and kittens and all of those things, and the kiddie pools make it easier just to throw it inside the kennel, and then the dogs, and it contains them so that there's not a bunch of cleanup all the time with that. So that's an odd request, but if anybody has any kiddie pools, but Bleach and Dawn, especially now, and so that's good that we can take it directly there. And I do like the hours, because it also allows people to, after a regular work day, they can go up to help as well, to get that, maybe get them out sooner. So that'll be good. As far as our Facebook page, I know it's, because to me, that's going to need a different page than our official page.
We have not created one yet. We do need to do that. I think that's an opportunity now to roll it out.
Right. And again, if there's, I can help that page, and, you know, to help, because I think that, again, we have two displaced dogs right now that we're all anxiously looking for in the city. So I think if, you know, if we can get that, then that'll allow people also to, there's a Kirby Lost and Pets Lost and Found page that is started by residents, and people share their pets. So like I said, they're looking for them now. But if we have, as soon as a dog or a cat is intaked, then a picture can be put on social media, and then it can be shared, you know, around. And then maybe somebody will find their little animal faster. And as far as the dog park that we foresee, I mean, at least the basic minimum has been taken care of, as far as there's no holes where the dogs can run out of. Okay.
We'd love to be able to maybe add some things
right
forward to make it functional for the
animals. Okay. And as far as the adoption applications and things like that,
they're working on updating all of those.
Okay. Can we get, when the documents are final, can we get a copy of them just so that we can see them as well? I mean, I'll be there Saturday, but if we have them, then that way everybody can see them. And as far as ordinances, coming back, okay. I just think that, you know, I'm a big proponent of microchips, because I know that they can reunite animals, and that activity, as far as educating people about registering the microchip. I mean, there's dogs found daily that were missing a year ago, and they just happened to show up in vet's office, and they were reunited. So I just think that's important, and also to replace the licenses that is required now by the city. I think it would be an easier transition for the staff to keep up with microchips rather than trying to get a tag for every animal and keep up with it when somebody's expires. And then that's just a quick fix, since Chief had said that there are the scanning units, the microchip scanners. That's something easy that you can just walk up to a dog or cat and just scan it and know exactly where they're supposed to go, which I think will alleviate having to be taken to the shelter to do all the paperwork when an animal can be returned right then. Three. And you said that they had all the different RFs on them, so that, right?
Yes, ma'am.
The frequency.
We've got a selection of different vehicle models. We've got some longer ones. And the plan is to have one in the shelter and one on the vehicle so that they can scan the field. And what the hope is if we can identify the owner of the dog right there in the field, they can straight back home rather than even bring them to the shelter as a process.
What a great idea. Perfect.
Microchip our kids.
I know, right? Maybe. Does anybody else have any questions on that one? All right. So we will move to item
N.
9N. Discussion and possible action on the trap neuter return program, which is TNR.
So Ms. Vernon asked me to just kind of touch upon the TNR program and what our history is, and a little bit on where we're planning to go in the future. So just real quick, for those who are not familiar with a TNR, trap, neuter, release program, what it is a method to control a population of cats within an area.
under the proven fact that cats in their very nature, they're territorial. Traditional methods of just catching cats and taking them and adopting them, euthanizing them, relocating them to other areas. It controls the situation for a little bit, but because they're territorial, if there's not a cat in a specific area, other cats will move in. What this program is designed to do is we trap a cat in a certain area, the cat is brought to the shelter, it's checked, vetted, made sure, you know, its health, then it is either spayed or neutered, and then once it's ready, it's released to the area it was caught. Yeah, we also notch the ear, and that is just an indicator that the animal's part of the program. But the animal is eventually released back into the area it was caught in, and what it does, because it was altered, that eliminates the chance of breeding within the area, and by returning the cat to the area, it also helps to ward off new cats from coming in. Then the population is controlled because they're no longer able to breed, and then the older cats, as they get older, they pass on, and they're subject to predation, coyotes, other natural predators within the area, elements, so the population dwindles in that sense. So what is the history of our program? Well, we did not have a TNR program before a shelter manager came on. We did get a grant through PetSmart Charities, I believe. And this was back in the 2012-2013 fiscal year. That program gave us just shy of $40,000, and the plan was to expend those funds within that fiscal year. However, we were able to extend it even further, and we had the program active until right about mid-year in the 2013-2014 budget year. After that, because of lack of funding, the program was not renewed. Then that's when we started with the local agreement with Bexar County. So we did not pursue a TNR program. Last year, we did apply for a grant to restart the program. However, because it's such a popular program, PetSmart Charities was overwhelmed with it, and we were just one of the agencies or cities that was not selected for funding. All right, we are keeping an eye on that funding stream, and when they open that grant up again, we do a plan to reapply for it. The estimate based on what we spent during the last program, like I said, we got almost $40,000. We managed to stretch that out through 2 years. So just kind of rough numbers for discussion tonight. That is a program which would need to look to budget about $20,000 a year, plus or minus, to keep us going. Under that grant, the funds paid directly to the vet for the services. Bigger agencies, more money. I mean, you can actually hire people to manage and run the program. But as small as we are, we managed it through the ACO staff and the kennel staff using Dr. Hill at Kirby Animal Hospital as the primary doctor.
And we actually did, with that grant, we actually did have a separate person.
Yeah, she was brought on, and then once that grant was done, she moved on. Yeah. Plans for the future. Right now, we do not have a program in place. Again, as the last couple of items we had talked about, we're just in initial startup phases. The three kennel techs that we have, two of them, one was hired within the last 5 days, one within the last 10 days. So I'm not even considering them. And that's one of the reasons why this weekend, you know, we're not going to do any adoptions. Those two young ladies are going to be basically holding down the fort. Owner surrenders, making sure the dogs are cared for, fed, exercised, cleaned. We're going to be open to the public, and if we do get an excited little girl who's just got to have a puppy, we'll put an adoption hold on it until we're ready to do that, and then we'll make sure that that can happen within a couple of days, basically once Ashley returns. So moving forward beyond that, once we get our feet under us and we're running back full steam again, it is our intention to apply for every grant opportunity to get funding to resume this program. And as now we're working on next fiscal year budget, that is something that we are going to discuss with the city manager to see if that is something that we can include as part of our budget, to use our funding in addition to or in lieu of grant funding in the event that we're not selected as part of that program next year. A couple of notes. We have found in the past that sometimes TNR programs in certain areas can be kind of controversial because you do have people that absolutely support the program, and then you got other people that really don't care about it. All they're concerned about is to get the cat out of my yard. So there's the inherent issues that we have to face with. You get a citizen that calls in a complaint, we go out, trap the cat. We will run it through the program, make sure it's as healthy as we can bring it up to. It's altered, the ear is notched, and then we bring it back to the same location. And that always generates other questions, more phone calls. Why did you bring the cat back? So I think pound for pound in the long term, it is a good program. I think it is something that we should look at. But there are going to be these inherent issues that we're going to have to face with through social media, complaints into the police department, animal services, to council members, social media. But, you know, I think that's something should not prevent us from pursuing it in the future. So.
And we have in San Antonio Feral Cat Coalition, that's what they do. That's all they do. And so it's my hope that we'll be able to not necessarily partner with them, but at least get the information from them.
Correct.
So that we can have all of that education, those educational pieces. I do know that there is somebody in our city that actually does partner with San Antonio Feral Cat Coalition, and she actually TNRs cats herself. So she actually takes them to, she actually traps them in her area. She'll take them personally. She pays for the spay and neuter fee. If you go, if you use their class, it's, you actually go sit through their class, then they, I believe it's $20 that they will spay and neuter those cats. And then they teach you how to go about controlling the colony and those kinds of things. In addition to that, they also keep the snake population down, the rat population down. So in addition to, you know, being a nuisance, they actually keep those other varmints at bay. If you didn't have a city or a area without those cats, you would have an overrun of rats and snakes. So there's also those benefits as far as the environment is concerned, too. And the other thing, I do have, there's all kinds of brochures, but I actually have something that was, I still have the information that was provided to us, and there, when we started it, and it was from 2014. So by spaying and neutering just one male and one female cat, more than 2,000 unwanted births can be prevented in just 4 years, and more than 2 million in 8 years. So when you think about that's just from two cats, and you think about the volume of cats that we all see around our area, especially when it gets cool at night, I mean, that in 8 years, 2 million cats. So I think that, you know, just seeing visual pictures, because I'm a visual, so when I see, you know, like these little cats and then all over there, we actually have two still TNR cats from the original 2014 cats. And to Chief Boyce's point, they will stand at ends of the street and they will ward off any other cats that come in. Unfortunately, because it's now 5 years old, they were older to begin with, so they're getting, you know, a little bit timid now, like they can't hold their own to those young studs, but, you know, so they try, but it definitely made a huge, so I can vouch for the program itself on what it did for just on happiness alone, but now you can see it unraveling because of the fact that now we're 5 years, almost 6 years out, so you can see that program unraveling because now you can see the pregnant cats. There's probably some in our garage in the back, I don't know. But again, because spring happened early this year, every entity that is an animal welfare entity is inundated with cats right now. They are begging for people to foster just so that they can have them, you know, out, because there's mommies being orphaned because, like you said, unfortunately, they're getting attacked by other animals, and so... But I do think it's a good program, and I would hope that if we can, you know, find that avenue to do it, I think that we should.
We have already reached out to San Antonio Cat Coalition and in the hopes to renewing that partnership that we had before the joint operation. We are also into support of that. We're looking at other options like outlying areas outside of Bexar County. There is a big demand for barn cats.
Yes.
So we're looking at establishing a barn cat program to help with that. And, you know, once those cats are spayed or neutered, then, you know, they won't be declawed, or we'll look to move them out to farms and ranches for rodent pest control. There's a big demand for those as well. So right now, while the program is just on paper and in thought process, it is something that we hope to move toward as soon as we can. But our current focus right now is getting all of our new people properly trained and moving forward, and at least getting our feet back under us and establishing a fully operational facility. And then we'll start looking at TNR. However, that is not to say if I get word that PetSmart Charities has opened that grant tomorrow, we're going to move toward doing that application. But, you know, if memory serves me right, that normally does not open till like December or so. It's in the December time frame. It was not something that, for whatever reason, the joint facility, the management structure there, pursued during that. So, like, you're right, it has started to unravel a little bit. But I think we're still in a position to catch it quick enough to where the work that we did prior to that won't be a complete waste.
And as far as the ordinance actually speaks to TNR. So as far as that piece, it's a pretty staunch ordinance piece there. So I don't think that part will have to be rewritten, because it outlays, you know, the fact that residents can be the, you know, the keeper of that colony and, you know, those pieces. So
and we've already had basic discussion to just sit down and review the policy just to make sure that it's 100% right and it doesn't need any freshening up. But I agree with your statement that I think it is solid enough as it stands to carry us forward for now. So.
Okay. Anything else on that? All right, thanks, Chief.
Thank you, ma'am.
Did you have anything on that one? Okay. All right, item 9-0. Discussion and possible action on revival and amendment to interlocal agreement for purchasing services with Bexar County. We'll turn this over to you.
So in 2015, we entered into this interlocal agreement, which would allow us to utilize Bexar County's purchasing department for purchases of $5,000 or more. It also allowed us to place into like a cooperative purchasing. They have several suburban cities that all fall within Bexar County. And so if we all ran together and wanted Bexar County to purchase paper for all of the entities because they can get a better rate, then that would be something that we can do. The agreement expired at the end of 2018, and they had not mentioned doing it again. But several of the suburban cities went back to them and said they would like to see that revived and reinstated under the same terms. So what this agreement would do is just allow us to enter back into another 3-year agreement. And then at the end of this agreement, there's the option to renew for 5 more years. I'm not sure why they selected 3 to 5, but that's what the renew option is. And so we had not used it in the 3 years that we had it because there weren't any identified goods or services at that cost that we thought would be worth using. But if more of the cities are interested in the cooperative purchasing piece, it may be something beneficial for us. I had requested from them earlier this week a list of other items that maybe you weren't aware of that we could use. So they said they would get back to me. It was supposed to be by today, but I didn't receive it as of today. So because there was a couple of inquiries from like some of the departments about could that include vehicles. It talks about it does not include things that cities are still required to get out.
Right.
But so I will still get that information. But they were asking that if the cities wanted to renew this, that we approve it and return it to them by the 29th.
So this is not this is a blanket for all the cities that want. It's not just each city. Okay.
All the cities.
And there's no cost if we don't use it. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, make a motion. We accept the rival amendment to interlocal agreement for purchasing services with Bexar County.
Second. We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge. Accept the revival and amendment to the interlocal agreement for purchasing services with Bexar County. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. We will find some good deals in there. Never know. All right. Item 10A, request for mayor and council. Requests by mayor and council members for items to be placed on future city council agendas and announcements on city events and community interests. Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge.
Monique, have we had any contact with TxDOT about moving our city limit sign over by Taco Factory?
We have not had no response.
Can we hit them up again? Mayor Pierce had said, spring has come early and our lawns are growing faster and faster with all this rain, this wonderful rain that we've been getting. I know that Officer Thompson is very busy with all of her duties, but there is one thing out there that I started with. And it was just a fluke. I clicked on an app, and it was called Lawn Starter. And it has been an absolute blessing. I'm too busy to mow my lawn. I'm not going to lie. I don't want to do it. My husband's not able to. But Lawn Starter is a service that charges $40 a month, and they come every 2 weeks. They mow my lawn, edge it, and sweep up the excess. You can't beat that with a stick. So if we have residents out there that can't do it, $40 is a darn good deal. I'm done.
Okay. Councilmember Lehman?
Commercial.
Maybe they should pay me. Wait a second. I don't need another job.
I'd like to ask the chief a question. Chief, what is the last update on that property on Autumn? I mean, that people have been here week after week.
He can answer the question. There can be no discussion other than to please put it on the agenda for a more complete report. But he can answer the question. No back and forth.
Just in a quick nutshell, Tucson Digital did run a warrant on one of the two houses. It was a successful warrant. There were some drugs taken into custody, some arrests made, and we're continuing to monitor and watch the area.
Okay, I'd like to have that put on the agenda so we can.
Do you want that on the second week of May agenda when we're talking about the other stuff that Officer Thompson talked about, how we can combat that?
That's fine, because people that live on Autumn, they've been here, but we can't ever give them an answer. So I want to put it on the agenda so that we can talk to them and they can talk to us.
And that's a busy street.
Okay.
Awesome.
That's all I got right now. Thank everybody for showing up tonight.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes. have nothing at this time.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for attending this evening. I was asked to taste, to judge the salsa contest today at Hopkins Elementary for some teachers, and myself and both chiefs were there, and that, I hadn't done that before, so that was an interesting event. It was really cute, too, because they also had the parade of the little, the kindergartens and the first and second graders had their little floats, so they got to come through, and that was a great experience, and that's one of the things I love about our community, too, is the little ones that, and we're fortunate to have those two schools in here where we're able to have a that resident base as well. I wanted to see if we could utilize our Facebook, not necessarily the Facebook page, our main website, because some time ago we had that person come and talk about what they could do to update our, I don't know where that went, but I would like to see if we can possibly put a list of addresses for garage sales on our website. Maybe in the community, there's a community tab to let everybody know where a garage sale is in our city. Somebody had actually asked on Nextdoor, where are all the garage sales at? And people were posting their addresses there. But I think if maybe we can, when they come get a permit, if they can jot it down. And again, if somebody wants to see that list, I'll be more than happy to post it on my social media as well, just so that we can get that out. And then maybe we can bring people in and people get to know their neighbors as well and help people get rid of their stuff that they have for sale. Facebook notifications now, and again, I said that earlier when we were talking, as far as the communication, now that we've kind of put everything together, I know it's difficult to get all of those requests in, but I'd like to see more that's happening as far as, you know, the Fireman's Picnic and other events that are coming up. The Easter egg hunt, we saw that a couple of times. But I just think that we need to be a little bit more enriched with the things that are going on to remind people. I think Councilmember Pierce had said something about, you know, you see it and then you forget. But maybe if we can continue putting on the social media so that at least we can share that information. This is Administrative Professional Week. Wednesday was Administrative Professional Day. So I just wanted to thank our city staff for all of the paper that they push day in and day out. And also welcome back Patty. I can't tell you how many times I called Tracy. May the city Tracy call roll. So it's good to have you back. You were missed. And the Fireman's Picnic again is next week end. And so if anybody has any auction items, please get with the chief and the fire department. If for any reason you have auction items and you can't drop them off, please notify them so they can make arrangements to pick those items up. The Easter egg hunt, we had that. We had a lot of people, probably more so than anybody actually expected or thought were coming. So I think that that just proves that if you get the word out, that people will show up. So right now, I believe that we have some empty bins. Is that correct? So if I will make a call, since Easter was still close, if anybody has any empty Easter egg, plastic Easter eggs that they want to donate back to the city, we have at least three bins that we can fill up. So, and with that, thank you again for coming and taking an interest in